going to be moving from place to place, so just hang tight and keep it with you. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. It is better than life to us. Father God, we ask now, God, as we prepare to move into, Lord God, the place that your spirit is leading us, that you prepare our hearts to receive it. Lord God, taking us there means nothing if we're not ready to receive. So I pray for receptive hearts. I thank you for this word going forth, Lord God, bringing liberty to those who are captive, bringing clarity to those who are confused, bringing confirmation to those, oh God, who are ready to take the next step. In the name of Jesus, have your way in this place. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And to all of our Facebook audience, we thank God for each and every one of you. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to tell you, there's nothing better than being here. Amen. To my son who should be watching, bless you, son. Be ready to go when we're ready to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want just a little bit, want to shout out his basketball team. They are two steps closer. Well, actually one step closer to going to the state tournament. Amen. So we thank God for them going forth and doing their best. And we thank God for him. He just needs to get up on time. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. My daddy said it like this. He said like this, and I heard my daddy this morning. Y'all ever heard your daddy, your father and yourself, your mother and yourself? I heard my daddy. My dad said, listen, I'm not going to argue with you about coming to church. He says, you do what I want to do. That gives you permission to do what you want to do. So the moment you feel like you're too big to come to church, then that means you don't want to do the stuff you want to do. He didn't get real. He didn't get real animated about it. He just did. So the next time I got ready, I missed church, and the next time that I got ready to do something, he said, where you going? I'm getting ready to go with my friends. He said, well, unless you plan on walking there, you're not taking the car. Do you remember that Sunday you chose not to go? This is the day. So just real without you don't have to yell, you don't have to fuss. Parents, you still the parents. You still the parents. Amen. Amen. I know the kids don't like me right now, but you keep living, you're gonna have some of your own. Amen. 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 So we thank God. We thank God for obedient children. Praise the Lord. We're going to move into our second part of this teaching called Risking and Reaching. Risking and Reaching. And I want to just really get into what God is laying for us. If you weren't here for the first part, get the first part. It's online. It's online. You can get it. Go to the website. Get it. Listen to it. You can download it. I don't have time to go over that again. But what I really want to touch on is that when we talk about risking for the kingdom citizen, obeying God is not a risk. It is perceived as a risk to the world because you're stepping out on faith. You're stepping out on things. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're stepping out on something that can't be seen tangibly all the time, trusting that God, because he's led you there, is going to sustain and keep you. To the world, that looks like a risk. But to heaven, it looks like faith. So we call it a risk because we're in this world and it's going to resemble a risk. But when you're obeying what God's called you to do, it's not a risk. It is faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. And we're going to talk today about how do I determine, how do I verify whether what I'm hearing is of God, or is it last night's greens? Is it last night's pork rinds? How do I verify that this is what I'm hearing from God? And we're gonna get into that. But we're gonna talk about risking and reaching. Somebody shout, risking and reaching. As kingdom citizens, we have not been saved by God's grace only to strive for a place of stability and comfort. That's the goal of religion. The goal of the relational is to keep reaching, keep growing, keep changing for the better. That does not mean God does not want us to enjoy comfort, does not want us to enjoy good things, but that cannot be the goal. Amen. The comfort and having a sense of stability are byproducts of us continuing to reach, continuing to stretch, continuing to strive for better and for greater. Amen. The Bible says that we move from faith to faith and glory to glory. Those are progressions. Those are steps. And God is He's expecting us to move from one level to the next level. Amen. Amen. He wants us to move from one level to the next level. And so as we move as a believer, God does not want us to be just satisfied with being comfortable. He wants us to continue to celebrate Him in the victories, but look for the next thing to be conquered. Amen. Amen. See, to keep reaching, to keep growing, to keep changing for the better requires that we be willing to disrupt or disturb the equilibrium of our lives from time to time. Sometimes you got to break it up. Amen. And it got quiet in here because folks don't like change. We don't like change. And I'm going to be the first one. Listen, I don't like change either. I'm not one who volunteers to be the first one in line for change, but I understand change is necessary if I'm going to keep growing. Change is necessary if I'm going to keep progressing. Change is necessary. Look at somebody say, change is necessary. Is that the music to keep me, to make me wrap it up? I know. Change is necessary. I know she's trying to tell me, hurry up, Pastor. Go on. But change is necessary. It is necessary. It is necessary. You got to be willing to change. I say it like this. I mean, my wife told me, she said, you need to get some new jeans. I said, why? She said, your jeans are dating you. Nobody wears them big jeans no more. But I like my big jeans. I got room in my big jeans. I like my big jeans. She said, but babe, they are dating you. You might as well just put on some platforms with the fish in the bottom to let everybody. She said, you know what? You're not right. So I embrace change. I embrace change. And so I'm looking and I'm going and I find something that I like and I get a pair that I like. But then something happens and there's a hole in them in a uncompromising place. And then I figure I got to look for some more. And so I'm going and I go and I get all these jeans got flex in them. They got this stretchy, got this elastic in it. And you can't just get a regular pair of rugged jeans. I can't get no carpet burn no more on some rugged jeans. All these jeans got stretching, and so I'm trying to. You got slim fit, you got skinny fit, you got slim skinny sport fit, you got athletic fit, you got casual boot cut. All these, I'm like, I just want some jeans. That's all I want. And so I tried on some jeans, and I about passed out because they were so tight. It was like, is breathing an option with these jeans now? But change is not easy. It's not easy, but it is necessary for growth. It's necessary for growth. So I want nobody laughing at me. You see me coming up with some jeans. Don't laugh at me. Amen. Somebody say risk. Risk, risk. Risk is never about meaningless movement for the sake of movement. Risk is never just making a risk because you want to make a risk. Perceived risk is in response to Holy Spirit's guidance. We don't take and make perceived risk as believers without the Holy Spirit leading us. Amen. The Holy Spirit must be the leading and the guide. He must have commissioned, or the word in the Bible is unction you to make that move. You don't get up and say, I'm gonna quit my job. If the Holy Spirit hadn't told you to do it, don't do it. Amen. Holy Spirit, it's you don't make meaningless moves for the sake of movement. Risk is always, always an act of discipleship. It's an act of love. It's an act of service. It's an act of worship. It's an act of obeying or obedience, and it's an act of following God. When we risk according to what the Holy Spirit and what the Word of God instructs us to, that God is praised. God gets the glory out of your risk. Amen. Amen. When you decide to step out on faith and do something at the leading of the Holy Spirit, it's God that gets the glory. It's God that gets the praise. When you decide to sow that seed in that particular place or do this thing for that particular person at the leading of the Spirit of God, God gets the glory. You ought to be able to see God in all of it. Amen. Amen. So here's a question. Here's a question. How do we discern God's leading when a perceived risk is involved? I'm glad you asked that question. First and foremost, any perceived risk must not contradict kingdom principles already outlined in the Word of God. Any perceived risk, it should not contradict what God has already said. Amen. It should not contradict. I told this story several years ago. There was a friend of ours in college, and she was real deep. You know, real deep people. I say real deep people drown. Real deep people drown. And she was real deep, and she said the Lord said that was her house, a particular place was her house, and she was walking around that house. I'm going to walk around that house 7 times a day. And she walked around that house 7 times a day, and she called us one time, and she said, where are you? She said, I'm in jail. I'm down here in jail. I said, why are you in jail? Because they called the police. Who is they called? The people in the house. You walked around the house with people in it? Trespassing. They asked me to leave, but God said walk around 7 times. Listen. God does not contradict his word. He is decent and in order. Amen. 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 He's decent and he's in order. Once alignment is achieved, confirmation must be established. Once you align with the Word of God, once the thing that is perceived as a risk, it does not contradict the Word of God, there has to be confirmation. And confirmation comes through Holy Spirit. Now, it won't always be an audible voice. It'll be a confirming. It'll be God will send something or he'll allow somebody to say something that will confirm what he's already spoken in your spirit. You hear it externally, it'll just echo what he already placed in your heart. Confirmation. And that connection, that we can't receive, we can't hear that and judge it accurately if we are not in fellowship with God. See, how are you gonna understand the voice of God in that moment if you never heard the voice of God prior? How are you going to discern whether this is God if you have to reintroduce yourself to God? But it's through fellowship. It's through continual time spent with God, either in prayer or in his word. That's how you begin to develop his voice. The Bible says, my sheep, they hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You have to stay in the face of God in order to hear and recognize and understand that's his voice. The same way you spend time with your children and your children spend time with you, and in a crowd of people talking, if you raise your voice, they can hear you and pick you out of the crowd because they've spent time with you. And to hear the voice of God and to understand whether this is a confirming what God has spoken to me, I have to spend time with God. I have to spend time with God. And as much as I love to see you on Sunday, if this is the only time you think about God, you might be skeptical about what you hear. You will be confused about what is being spoken, what's coming through your spirit. You have to spend time with God yourself. You have to spend time with God, cultivating that relationship with God. Now, will the results always turn out as we expected or anticipated? Not always. Not always. I'm not here to tell you that every time you obey God's voice, you're going to be victorious. Not going to tell you that. I'm not going to feed you that lie. I'm not going to do that. There's too many lies already told in church. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to tell you that if you obey God, then everything's going to be howdy, howdy, and sunshiny all the time. No. I'm not going to say that. Listen, obeying God will get you hunted. Obeying God will put you on the hit list. But I'm going to tell you this. The weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper. Hey! Excuse me, I felt that right there. The weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper. The enemy may have you in his sights, but just as he's about to pull the trigger, God will step in the... I'm not here to tell you you won't go through nothing. Chris just said it. He saved us from sin, not from trouble. Ah, you can obey God and still get in trouble. You can obey God, but you know what? Obeying God still puts you in the best place you could ever be in your life. Listen, this is where we have to remember Isaiah 55 and 8. Isaiah 55 and 8 says it like this. It says, so were my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. See, sometimes we confuse our idea of success with God's idea of success. Oh, that's good right there. We think God is concerned about the end of the assignment. He's concerned about the outcome of the assignment. But no, God's really concerned about how you processed through the assignment. Oh my God. So what's risk framework? There's a framework for risk. There's a framework. Number one, I got five things. I'm going to load up my little red wagon and get out of your way. Five things I want to share with you about risks framework. Number one, begin every perceived risk with the word imagine. Begin every perceived risk with the word imagine. As God begins to guide in that area, don't be afraid. If he's guiding you in an area, don't be afraid. Allow yourself to see the possibility of what could happen. Let Ephesians 3 and 20 fill your heart. Ephesians 3:20 says it like this. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. The Amplified Version says ask, think, or imagine. According to the power that worketh in us. Look at your neighbor and say, I'll never fail at what I never try. Let it marinate. If you'll never fail at what you never try. Begin every perceived risk with the word imagine. Unhinge from the hindrances. Don't start with how frightening something might be. Or how much it might cost, or who may or may not agree or support you, or what anybody else thinks. Don't start there, because these are all dream killers. All of these, they will kill the dream quicker than it can manifest. If you think about all the ways it won't work, before you imagine what it could be, you'll never start. You'll never start. I guarantee you, you'll never start. See, these are dream killers, and they fracture faith, and they make us reluctant to risk. They fracture faith, and they make us reluctant or hesitant to risk. I remember when God called us to Virginia. We were getting ready to leave Arkansas, and I knew God had called me. I knew he had said, and then he confirmed it in his word in Genesis 12. He confirmed it in his word, and then he began to just lay it heavy on my spirit. I began to think about it all the time, and I went to my father, who was my pastor, and I said, Dad, I think God's calling me to Virginia, we gotta go. He says, as your pastor, I want to commend you for your great faith. He said, but as your daddy, I got to tell you, you a fool. You don't know nobody. You ain't got no job. You don't have no house. And all those things, had I let them sit on my heart, would have discouraged me from ever making a step. And had I run to him the moment I heard it, instead of letting what God's possibility, let the possibility of obeying him, let him begin to open that up to me, I would have stayed right where I was. I probably still would have moved in a level of blessing, but not have been able to receive and see all that he's done since he's brought us here. And so you can't let the limited vision of other people, other well-meaning people. This is my daddy. He loves me. You can't let the short-sighted vision of other well-meaning people keep you from moving where God is calling you into. Look at somebody and say, you got to take a risk. You got to take that perceived risk that God is saying, listen, I've called you over there, and you got to trust that where I'm calling you, I'm going to carry you. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Look at somebody and say, your dream has got to be God-sized. Oh, you got to have a God-sized dream. It ain't worth dreaming if it ain't God-sized. It ain't worth dreaming if it's not God-sized. Listen, you order when you drive up to Wendy's and McDonald's and Chick-fil-A, and they ask you want it medium or you want it large size. Grande. You're not afraid to ask for them to supersize your meal. Don't be afraid to ask God to supersize my dream. Give me a supersized dream, God. A dream that's bigger than me. A dream that I'm not going to have enough time to finish myself. Give me a supersized, God-sized dream. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, supersize me, supersize me. Yes, 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 yes. He says he wants to give you houses that you didn't build and vineyards you didn't plant. How are you going to do that with just a little bitty dream? You got to let God expand your horizon and expand your understanding and expand your reach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said you got to imagine. Imagine every perceived risk. Meet it with an imagine. Imagine. Imagine what my family could be if we were all saved. Imagine. So then that sets your course. You start praying for the salvation of your whole family. And you don't get off of it till you see it happen. You keep praying, and you keep living, and you keep shining. Because imagine what would happen if my whole family was saved. Imagine how strong my marriage would be. Hallelujah. If we prayed together. Imagine how strong our covenant could be. If before we made a decision, we knelt on our knees and we prayed together. Imagine how powerful our children would be if they saw me and my spouse studying the word of God. Imagine how great the choir would be if when we got together to practice, we prayed before we opened our mouths to sing a note. We studied God's word about the song. We found scripture that matched the song so we could understand what we're singing about. And once we understand what we're singing about and how it's ushering in the presence of God, and we stop singing from our voice and sing from our spirit. Imagine the yokes that could be destroyed and the burdens that could be removed. Imagine how bad the band could be. Amen. Amen. If we understood that we're minstrels and simply not playing for a gig. Amen. 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 Ante is a man of God. He's a man. I love him for his heart. But imagine, Jerry is too, But imagine, we don't have that problem here, but imagine what would happen if worship bands understood that this is not a gig, but this is my reasonable service to God. This is me giving God the gift that he's given me so that I can bless the body, so that we can help usher people in, so that the ground can be broken up, so that the seeds can be sown. Imagine what would happen. Imagine what would happen if we had anointed men and women over the children's ministry. Hallelujah. Imagine before you start talking about the stuff that keep it from happening, imagine what would happen. Imagine what could happen. Imagine, hallelujah, when we got into a disagreement, if I actually listened to you before I spoke and was able to understand you before I poured out on you what I thought. Imagine if we really just listened to each other. Imagine. Dream the best scenario you can think of. He says, and God says, and I'll do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask, think, or imagine. God said, give me something to work with. Give me something to work. Your greatest dream is a basement reality for God, which means God says, that ain't even the problem for me. It's not even the problem for me. Number two, picturing the potential gives shape to the dream and to us. Picturing the potential gives shape to the dream and it gives shape to us. Hallelujah. The person, listen to this, the person or church we are right now won't be able to achieve God-sized dream that's in front of us. The person you are right now can't handle it already. No slight against you, no slight against your education, your skill, your background. No, it's just because it's so big, you can't handle it. Not right now. That fact alone becomes the momentum and the fuel to get us to the place where, with God's help, we're able to become the person or the church capable of accomplishing that dream. Just because it's bigger than you right now should not discourage you to want to be what you need to be, everything you need to be, to make sure that it happens. See, there's some people, when we look at stuff, we look at this. I used to do this when I look at job applications. I look at it and I say, I don't have that. I can't do that. Might as well forget it. And then the Holy Spirit say, why? Wait a minute. You just need 12 more hours to get that. Why not? You just need just a few months of on the job experience and training to be able to do that. Why not? We throw stuff away that God is trying to get us to come up higher. We throw stuff away and cancel stuff out and say that ain't for me. That God's trying to tell you, listen, it could be yours if you put the work in and become diligent enough to make sure I'm not the same person that started out, but I'm changing as God matures me and grows me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got a picture. Picturing the potential gives shape to the dream and to you. It gives shape to the dream, and it gives shape to you. God-sized dreams are meant, they're meant to overwhelm us. They're meant to overwhelm. If you can manage a God-sized dream, it's not God-sized. A God-sized dream was meant to overwhelm you. When God first showed me the dream for this house, it blew my mind. I said, God, I can't do it. He said, yeah, you're right. He didn't coddle me and say, that's okay. No, he said, yeah, you're right. But he said that so that I could then understand, if it's going to get done, I got to do it with him.
The God-sized dream in your heart, in your spirit, cannot be accomplished with you alone. It can only be accomplished with the architect and the creator of that dream. His name is Jehovah Jireh. His name is Jehovah Shalom. His name is Jehovah Sikkenu. His name is Jehovah. It's supposed to overwhelm you. It's supposed to be bigger than you. If you can fix that by yourself, it ain't God. It's not. But if that thing is so big, you say, whew. When you start thinking about it, God says, he said like double dutch. Just let me come on in. I gave it to you so that it would blow your mind. But if you let me in, me and you together can do things that this world hadn't seen yet. Can move things. Oh, my God. Picture the potential. As we work with God, he works, listen to this, on us. As we work with him, he works on us. As we work alongside God, God alone works in us. That's what he does. Accomplishing the goal isn't the focus for God. Growing and deepening us is the focus for God. Because you know what? He could do it through anybody. Yeah, you're not that cute. You're not that handsome. Brian looked like A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell, but that ain't why God want to use him like he want to use him. It's not you. He could use anybody. But because he chooses to work on you and deepen you and strengthen you, he says, I will give you this dream. Because my end goal is to make you better. Look at somebody say, picture the potential. Picture that potential. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Resources will be needed. Resources will be needed. But I want to encourage you, look around you. Look around yourself and see what you already have. Picture the potential. Look around you and see what you already have. God asked Moses when he had the staff in his hand and he was getting ready to send him back to Pharaoh. He says, what do you have in your hand? Exodus 4 and 2. He said, listen, I'm not going to give you nothing else, but I gave you everything you need to do what I'm getting ready to call you into. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning specifically, but God has given you everything you need to do what he's called you into. What is in your hand? Help me out, Samuel Jackson. All right, what's in your wallet? You already got it. I'm gonna use a country term. It might go over some of y'all head, but you ain't fixing to get it. You already got it. Come on, put your hand on you and say, I already got it. You just gotta picture the possibility. Because here's the thing I know, God will never tease you with stuff you can't complete. He won't tease you like that. He said, you just got to line up and get in my formula. And my formula is understanding, I can't do it without him, hook up with him, and now I need to reevaluate and look at what I already have. Resources will be needed, but you got to look around yourself and see what you already have. There may be potential in existing sources. Maybe sitting beside the next emerging leader. You may be a part of that group of people that just needs something positive to attract them. And by you coming together, you may form the next corporation or the next conglomerate. Look around you. Look what says it's already around you. You may already have the contacts you need to get to the next level.
They just don't know what's in your head because you ain't told nobody. The financial stream you've been praying for may be staring you right in the face. Look at what's already around you. Look at what's already around you. The stuff that you do on accident, God says, there may already be a market for it. You don't even know it. Hallelujah. You may be the next Sarah Lee. You may be the next Colonel Sanders. Hallelujah. You may be the Black Martha Stewart. Yeah. You may be the next Martha Stewart. You just know how stuff should go. You just got the feel. You just didn't look at it and say, no, it need to go this way. It need to go this. You see the whole plan played out. You may be the next Martha Stewart, Miss Hall. Look at what's already around you. Picture the potential. Start reassessing what you already have and imagine how they can work for you differently. Start reassessing what you already have. A God-sized dream will often be larger than our bank account. It'll often be larger than your bank account. Somebody say, no doubt in my mind. I believe that. Amen, preacher. You said a truth. God-sized dream will often be larger than your bank account. The temptation is to reduce the dream, but instead, get a MacGyver spirit. Some of y'all don't know who MacGyver is. Some of you saw him on Nick at Night. MacGyver was this professor who knew a lot about everything. And he became a spy. And he was put in situations and had to come up with quick solutions to get out with little or nothing. He would have bubble gum, duct tape, and a toothpick. And he got a whole squadron coming with machine guns, bayonets, and grenades. And he look at that bubble gum, duct tape, and the toothpick and say, just what I need. And he go to working and the music start playing and pretty soon he do this and then boom, it blow up and everybody out and he just walk out. Some of y'all need to get a MacGyver spirit. Look around you and see what it is and don't discount it and say, with the Lord's help, I can turn that nothing into something and get me out of this mess. My God, my God. Hey, I got any MacGyvers in here today? Hey. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You ran out of toothpaste, but you got some baking soda. Yeah. You ran out of hand soap and you got some dishwashing liquid. Okay. You get a MacGyver spirit. Ask yourself, what kind of positive moves can I make where I am with what I already have? What kind of positive moves can I make where I am with what I already have? See, the devil wants to make you believe that it's so over, that you're so far behind, that you just focus on the fact that you're going to fail. But God has placed around you. He said in his word, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. He said, I've already given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you just have to picture the potential. Hallelujah. My wife, I love her to life. I love her. She is resourceful. She is. I'm sure she has saved me millions. She's done her own hair for years, and now she's at the point now she wants to do her own hair. I'm good with that because I figure out of 19, 20 years, 21 years of her doing her own hair, I can start doing a little bit now. She's done great things. But when she was younger, her family didn't have much money. And she became resourceful, and she, I don't know what kind of jeans she originally had, but she would go down to the thrift shop. They call it a beehive. It's equivalent to Salvation Army thrift shop. And she would go, and she would go through, and because her dad worked there, she would often get the opportunity to go through stuff first. And so she'd get the designer jeans. Guess was the jean of preference back in the day, the Guess jeans. And so she'd get the Guess jeans. Didn't matter what size they were. Some they wouldn't fit her, but she didn't want the jeans. She just wanted the Guess emblem. And so she'd get an X-Acto knife and she'd cut the emblem out. And she'd get them Wranglers or them chick jeans, the ones you got from Walmart. And she would remember where it was on the back of the jean, of the real Guess jean, and then she put it on the chick jean. And she'd go sashaying down the hall with her Frankenstein Guess jeans. But what she did, she took what she had around her. Didn't make her daddy go and hawk buying brand new Guess jeans. She took jeans that had been handed down and thrown away and repurposed. You got to picture the possibilities. Inventory your circle. Then your community. Then your city. Then your county. Ask people what they do well. What do you do well? Search out the qualities and talents you need to accomplish the dream. Hallelujah. Picture the possibilities. Y'all good? Y'all good? Number three, real quick. Number three, assemble a team of faith winners. Assemble a team of faith winners. This is good. I'm going to get my own CD off of this. I told you should have been here, Facebook. You should have been here. Assemble a team of faith winners. Proverbs 15:22 says it like this. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Simply saying, without somebody to bounce it off of, without somebody to check you on it, it's going to fail. But in the multitude of counselors, that thing is established. See, God-sized dreams are nearly never accomplished alone. You're not going to accomplish a God-sized dream by yourself. It's too big. You assemble a team of faith-filled partners around the table of your choice and articulate the dream. Get you some faith-filled partners. Once you've assessed and asked their and figured out what they do well, and if it fits with the dream that God's given you, bring them to the table. Now, let me pastor you here. You make sure you choose this group carefully and prayerfully. You need to make sure you choose this group carefully and prayerfully, because you don't want to invite a dream killer to your table. You can't share the dream and the vision with everybody. Carefully and prayerfully. I saw this. Y'all pray for me. It comes up in my feed. Y'all pray for me. Father, in the name of Jesus. But Dish Nation on Facebook comes up. The little excerpts. And they got Gary with the T and Head Crack and Portia. And Ricky Smiley show, but they do extra. And Gary with the T, he said, they were asking about something, and he said, I'm getting ready to start a clothing line, and he named the name. And Portia said, oh, I'm going to use that. And you saw his face. You could see all the blood just leave his face. Because he said something on a national level before he understood somebody else could take that. I mean, you literally saw his countenance change. He reckoned, I just gave away a part of my dream. You got to be careful who you share your dream with. You got to be careful who, even in passing, see, the devil loves to butter you up and get you loose so he can get all your secrets. You got to keep a vault. Guard your heart with all diligence. But out of it flow the issues of life. Some people don't need to know what's going on in your head.
Hallelujah. We used to talk, used to tell my brother Cedric, and he's a preacher and a pastor too. We used to talk, sit around and talk about the word and what God was sharing with us. We used to say, I always say, what is God saying? What the Lord saying? We go share, and it's good to share. But when I get up, he will go and preach my stuff. And he would preach my stuff in comments. It wasn't like a real sermon. He'd get up, just give comments, and would preach and would just kill everybody with the stuff I had studied hours over. I learned not to say nothing around Cedric no more. Only thing Cedric got out of me was the weather and what we were having for lunch. You can't tell everything to everybody. You got to assemble faith winners around you. Assemble that team. Choose that group carefully and prayerfully. Bring, don't be afraid to bring in people who are smarter than you. Don't be afraid to bring in people smarter than you. If you're the smartest person at the table, you need to get to another table. Because you know you, and that means this is as high as you can go. Get people who are smarter than you. In preferably in other areas where you're weaker. You ought to want somebody who knows business strategies better than you. You ought to want somebody who knows marketing better than you. Amen. Get somebody in your group, in that faith-filled partnership who is smarter than you. And if something of faith is going to occur, we need faith winners surrounding us. We need faith winners. Now, you're gonna be tempted to bring in people who don't believe like you believe, but you got to be careful. If God don't say so, don't do it. I've seen a whole lot of believers bring in secular people who have another agenda. They have good ideas and they can do. They're good strategies, but they have another agenda. And they're not trying to influence the world for Christ. They're just trying to make some money by any means necessary. And I've seen God feel. I've seen spirit feel dreams go down the drain because they let somebody who had another agenda take it and run it into the ground. Now, you might not need to bring them as a partner. You need to bring maybe a consultant. I'll keep you over here when I need you. But I'm not going to let you put your hands on this because your spirit is not right. Amen. Amen. Number four. Become more biased to making moves. Become more biased to making moves. What that simply means is, Become more ready to move instead of just talking about it. Instead of just talking about it, be about it. Be more biased in making moves. Yes, there is wisdom in patience and prudence and waiting on God, but green still means go. Some of you guys giving you the green light and you still stuck. Some of you guys giving you permission to go, and you still there. Green still means go. See, some of us want 3 and 4 and 5 confirmations. We want 3. God told you, you got the confirmation, you know it's him, but I'm still praying about it. No, you scared. Let's be honest with you, you scared. Let's just be call it what it is. You scared, and pray, ask God for strength, for boldness. You see, you want 3 and 4 and 5 confirmations, but God said in Psalms 95, 7 and 8, today, if ye hear his voice, harden not your heart. This, he didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say it down. He said today. There's some things that God's calling you to. They are time sensitive because you're ready. Now the things that he's spoken out over you to get you moving forward, that's one thing. But when you are in the right place at the right time and everything is prepped for that moment, God says you need to seize it while it's there. You need to have more biased to making moves. James says in James 2:18, "Show me your faith without works, and I'll show." He says, "And I will show you my faith by my works." A lot of people talking faith, and they're still in the same place. Sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Talking real good, but you're still in the same place. Still in the same. Become more biased about making moves. You ought to be tired of being in the same place, especially when God has released you. Oh, could the reason the struggle has come is because the grace on your life is where you're supposed to be and not where you are? Could the struggle be because the grace that was once on your life is where you're supposed to be and not where you still are? In the Bible, the cloud would move. It was an indication that this is where God's presence was. This is where God, and if you wanted to stay protected, you had to stay under the cloud. Hallelujah. Very often, God-sized dreams get rehearsed, but very seldom do they get requisitioned. At some point, we got to put a demand on the dream. At some point, we got to put a demand on the dream. Number five, and I'm done. Number five, don't quit. Don't quit. Someone shout that, don't quit. Ah, see, reflection and reevaluation are necessary components of implementing any God-sized dream. You got to reflect. You got to reevaluate. They're all there to implement the God-sized dream. But I need you to understand, trying and wearying seasons will come. Seasons of doubt will come. Seasons of discouragement will come. Seasons of lack will come. Seasons of betrayal will come. Seasons of depression will come. But the phrase and the command is still there. Don't quit. For the race is not given to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but to those who endure. Look at your neighbor and say, don't quit. Hallelujah. Commitment is this. I want to say this. I don't want to yell this. I want you to hear this. Commitment is staying true to a worthy decision long after the emotion to have made that decision is ended. Commitment is you standing even after the fanfare. Commitment is you standing and holding on to that decision long after the pats on the back have faded away. Commitment is long after the reception. Long after you open the gifts. Long after the birth. Commitment is staying there after everybody has clapped. Commitment is you still standing there saying, I still believe. Long after the grand opening, commitment says, I still stand by the decision. Commitment says, quitting is not in my vocabulary. See, here's this. It's Matthew 13. Matthew 13 recounts the parable of the sower. The sower scatters seed on the soil, and some lands on the path, some lands on shallow soil, some lands on thorny soil, some lands on good ground. Now, one out of four is not a good scenario, because that parable says only the seed that only fell on good ground was the only one that came up. The thorny ground came up, but it was soon withered away. So conceivably, there was only one success story out of those four seeds. Not a very good scenario. Not a very good outcome. By all earthly standards, you really failed. You didn't cut even. You lost. So the strength of this parable for us today is this: whenever we sow spiritual seed in people's lives, three out of four won't yield the crop we anticipate. But the Bible reminds us that the seed that took flourished exponentially. The Bible says in Mark 4, 20, that seed that fell on good ground, it came up 30, 60, 100-fold. It only took in one place, but where it took, baby, where it took. It only grew in one place, but where it grew, it grew. If you quit before you plant the seed, you'll never know what it could do. If you quit before you plant the seed in the good ground, you'll never know the potential that could come. If you had just given up and said, ain't nobody, don't nobody care, I might as well quit. They don't love me no more, I might as well quit. I love what Creflo Dollar said. Creflo Dollar said, think what you might, but he say some good stuff sometimes. Creflo Dollar said, he said he was arguing with his wife, and then they were arguing, and he says, you don't love me. And before he could walk out the room, he said, Holy Spirit said, it don't matter if she love you. That ain't why you got married. He said, if she don't love you, you're in covenant. You're still in covenant to cover her. Even if she don't. He said, her command was to honor and obey. And we want to quit because we set standards that God said, I didn't want that. Like King Jaffe Jofa from the other hit African movie. Who told you that? We assume and put stuff on God that he never said and then get mad at God because it don't happen. God's not obligated to your idea. Oh, that's good. He's not obligated to your idea. He's obligated to his idea. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tomorrow's big harvest starts with today's seed. Tomorrow's big harvest starts with today's seed. Not all of the ground will produce, and the good ground won't always produce immediately. But none of that should keep us from scattering seed. None of that should keep us from planting seed. What do you have in your hand? Some of you got seed of encouragement. You got seed of grace. As believers, we all have the seed of being a witness. God's calling you, some of you, to make what the world perceives as a risk. And he's saying, I need you to just take the step of faith. I need everybody standing in this room.